WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. Yep, that's right, lawns and gardens. If you have a lawn or garden question, give us a call. Mitchell Mote is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And before Mitchell begins, I want to make a correction because I just got this text in. I have the wrong number on the Coleman canoe. It is 615-596-3530. 615-596-3530. And Mitchell's writing that down feverishly. You're a canoe guy, obviously.
Well, it's a good opportunity for a brand new canoe. It's
never
your chance
been
to
in
test
the water.
It. Never been in the water, so we don't know if it leaks or not. So this, you know, we got to test these things out.
That's right. And he is Mr. Wizard for Rutherford County. If anybody, see, now that'll show
your
age right
there. I believe that's a pretty loose use of the word wizard, I tell you what. Yeah, Mr. Wizard, guys, it's been a long time since he was
it
around.
It has been good. I always watched him, though. He was a good show to watch.
The science guy.
Yeah. Well, this is the time of the year people are feverishly thinking about going out and working in the gardens.
It's been nice weather for the last week or so, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been wonderful.
Yeah, very nice outside. And it's time. It's time for vegetable gardens. You know, those folks who were prepared enough in it prior to it, they had their beds ready to get, so that they could work into them and so on. They've got some cool season things out there, and onions and cabbages and lettuce and broccoli and cauliflower, things like that, up and growing. But now we're at that time that it's okay to start thinking about putting those warm season crops, those that are not frost tolerant, into the ground. I mean, it still is possible that we could have a light frost, but we're at that point that it's not nearly as likely, for Murfreesboro historically. Once you get into the latter part of April, around April 21st, 22nd, 23rd, something like that, there's probably like a 10% probability that it will frost at that point. So you're really getting out of the danger zone. But just be advised that if you do get things, those sensitive crops that are sensitive to frost out in the April time frame, that be prepared to cover those up, protect them, because it's not uncommon, certainly not out of the realm of possibility, to have a late frost. In years past, we've had frost as early as as late as the first part of May. So it's a possibility, but you're right. It's that time of the year folks are anxious and eager to get out into the yard, into the garden, into the landscape. The garden centers are well stocked. Plant selections are probably as good now as typically in the springtime. They're as good as they'll be all year long for the bulk of those things. So now's the time to think about it. If that's a project you've been thinking about for the 2019 to do some work in the lawn or in the garden, this is a good time to get started.
Very definitely. Our phone number, by the way, is 615-893-1450, and we have some folks with lawn and garden questions for you. Good morning. You're on with Mitchell Mote. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you, and I have a question about a hydrangea plant.
Okay.
For the last, it used to just bloom, hundreds of blooms, and the last 2 years it has not bloomed, and my neighbors right beside me, theirs hadn't bloomed. We don't know what's wrong.
Well, it's probably nothing that you've done to it. Well, let me ask you this. Have you pruned the thing?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because often what folks will find is that they will prune them at the wrong time, and they'll prune those flower buds off. So that's not the case with you. The other most common occurrence when hydrangeas failed to bloom is that they took an early growth spurt, and then you had a freeze, and it killed some of those flower buds to the point that you had none or just very few flowers. I have two hydrangeas there at my house, and there was a period earlier in the year that they took off. They had big fat buds on them, and then lo and behold, we had a good freeze and it froze those off, and they're starting to come back out now, and I don't know if they're going to bloom this year or not, but very often that's what happens to those hydrangeas that don't flower, if they're in a spot in the landscape that when it does warm up and that spot is exposed and it gets particularly warmer, they may go ahead and try to start growing early, and then a freeze comes along and knocks those flower buds back.
What about feeding them?
Well, I mean, fertilizer's fine. That probably did not influence whether they flowered or not, because they'll, as long as they're up and growing, they'll form the flower buds when it's time for them to do that. I'm assuming they're starting to show some growth on them now. Is that correct or not?
Yes, they're greening.
Okay, starting to green up. Well, it wouldn't, you could certainly feed them with just a general fertilizer, an all-purpose fertilizer at this point. And, you can see some increased growth, and you may. Do you know what kind of hydrangeas they are?
No, it's just a regular old, it's not a fancy one.
Okay. You might see some flowers this year. You never know, but feeding them will certainly help keep vigor and growth up in them, whether they produce flowers or not. And, next year or this coming year, if you keep an eye on those, and if they do start to show some signs of growth early and you've got a freeze forecast, you might think about trying to, protect them, so maybe you can alleviate some of that bud loss due to late freezes, if that indeed is what happened to them. But that's a good possibility that occurs frequently on hydrangeas.
You don't put acid fertilizer on or anything?
Yeah, I'll say that again.
General fertilizer, not a specific one.
Yeah, just a complete fertilizer, one that's got all three, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in there.
Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome.
Good luck to you. And let's take another call. Our number is 615-893-1450, and you're on with Mitchell Moat. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I have about the same problem, but mine is with a dogwood tree. We've had it for 3 years. It has never bloomed. It's putting out leaves every year, but it has never bloomed. And I don't know what to do about it.
Well, there may not be anything you can do about it. in all honesty, they put their blooms on. The blooms that are open right now, they were formed last year.
My leaves are open, no blooms.
Yeah, they've already. Yeah, and some, and that I've got one in my yard. It's got some blooms and leaves on it both right now. I'm assuming it's just, is it? Well, it's just a typical dogwood. It's not a coosa dogwood or...
No, it's just a regular dogwood, yeah.
Yeah, just standard dogwood. Mm-hmm. You had it out for 3 years. How large was it when you planted it?
Well, it really hasn't grown much. It was about 3 feet tall, and that might be 5 feet tall at the very most.
Okay, so in the summertime, during the growing season, when it gets leaves on it, do those leaves do they look good all season long, or do you notice the leaves take on an odd look to them? Do they have spots or?
And then they all drop off late in summer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think that's what's happening to you right there. It could be. So they do get the little spots on them. Is that right, or do they get the powdery white?
Yeah, they get spots. Sort of red looking spots on them, and then they drop off.
So here's what you might want to try to do. What it sounds like is that they're being affected. That dogwood's being affected by a disease called spot anthracnose. It's a very common fungal disease on dogwood trees, and especially a young one like that is just trying to get started. When it defoliates early, that takes away its ability to capture sunlight and make energy. So it's the fact that it hasn't grown very much is an indicator that that's probably the case. It's in stress, and it forms the flower buds for the spring, you know, the flower, the dogwood trees are going to bloom in 2020. They're going to make their buds sometime before we move into the fall time of the year, because before the leaves fall off, you'll see the flower buds on those things if they're going to have flowers on them. So the fact that this is defoliating early, it's not growing like it ought to, and that could very well be interfering with the production of the flower buds. What you might want to try to do, the fact that you've got leaves out there now, and probably those leaves look okay at this point. They're clean. They're nice, fresh little green leaves. You might want to consider using, and this is a tree that's of a size that you can do this, you might consider using a fungicide to help protect it from reinfection, because it'll be infected every year by the fungal disease spot anthracnose. Something that contains the active ingredient chlorothalonil. That's a very common homeowner fungicide. Garden centers will carry a variety of brands that will have chlorothalonil as its active ingredient. And you're going to spray the entire tree, spray the foliage probably four times or so throughout the growing season, and see if that won't give you a different result in 2020. Keep the disease at bay and not let it reinfect the tree to the point that it loses leaves early and it's able to go ahead and catch sunlight and make energy all season long and have a better chance of producing those flower buds to come out next spring.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, well, good luck to you. And it wouldn't hurt to fertilize the tree a little bit too this spring. Okay. That the leaves are out, and maybe help it get a little spurt of growth on there.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks. Good luck to you.
Now, what kind of fertilizer should she use?
Again, just we're talking about a general purpose fertilizer. It's got a complete fertilizer, all three of your primary nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in there.
Does she just sprinkle it around the
base? Yeah, you're going to apply it in the drip line of the tree, in little trees like that. And so the drip line is, you know, you back off from the base of the tree a few inches and out to the, just past the furthest reaching branches of the tree. That's the drip line.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Let's take another call. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Mote. Good morning to you.
Is that me?
It is you. Sure is.
Okay. Good morning. How are you all doing?
Doing fine.
Thanks. How are you?
Doing just fine. I have a Japanese maple tree. Okay. And I haven't had it about 3 years. And it's going all one way. And I was trying to find out, can I prune that tree and when is a good time to prune it so it'll be all one size, one height? And I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to listen, okay?
Well, before you hang up.
Hang on just a second, okay? So I'm assuming it's starting to leaf out now. It's leafed out pretty good already?
Yes, it's pretty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, ma'am, you can prune it now. It's fine. It's showing signs of growth, and you know, if you cut it now, it'll respond to that pruning. It should respond to it in a positive way. The wounds will heal up pretty fast. So yes, you can prune it to shape it up, make it more even, to make it more symmetrical across, balanced across the canopy of the tree. And now is a fine time to do that.
Okay, now since it's trying to lean a little, can I put a stick there and tie it up for the sort of stand up straight?
Yeah, if it's kind of want to lean on you, what you might do is maybe put a stake in the ground and run something over to the stake to help straighten it back up, and use something, you know, very soft, or even maybe take a piece of old garden hose that you run your guy material, whether it's a piece of rope or a piece of wire, through that, so that it doesn't cut into the tree itself. So you're creating a bumper or a cover over your guy material, so that it doesn't skin the bark of the tree and cut into it too much, and see if you can't pull it up a little bit straighter like that. You know, another alternative you suggested, a stick, so like something like a prop. You could certainly do that too, but you'd want to pad it in some way, I guess, so that it doesn't skin the tender bark, the trunk of the tree, and cut into it and cause a wound on it as well.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for that information.
Yes, ma'am. Well, good luck to you.
Okay. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. I hope you do.
Bye-bye. I've noticed that on some trees where they are at an angle, like she was describing, and I always thought it was going toward the sun, but that wouldn't fit there. What causes that?
Well, I mean, sometimes, you'll see depending on the size of the tree, a lot of things can cause that. You know, one is somebody planted it crooked. That it wasn't straight to start with. Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. Another is that the thing is planted and, you know, something changes in the ground. There may be, under heavy rain conditions, you know, a cavity develops on one side, and so it settles in that direction. Another possibility can be that... So when it settles, you know, it creates an open space, and it kind of goes that way. It leans that way because there's nothing to support it, you know, uniformly across the base of the tree anymore. And it's on larger trees under when you get really saturated soils, and you know the it's really soft, and you get some high winds and so on. A tree will, you know, it will. It doesn't hold anymore. The roots are not holding it because there's nothing there to hold on to. It's just soft, mushy mud, and a tree will start to lean a little bit, wind blow it in that direction. I mean, those are three fairly common things that will cause trees to lean.
We have a text from a listener who says, I have a tree that's doing pretty much the same thing that the lady described. It is at a pretty big angle, but it's about 5 feet tall. It's not a big tree. Is it too late to dig it up and plant it straight up?
Maybe not. No, I mean, I don't know what kind of tree it is, 5 feet tall. That's certainly not very, very big. It doesn't sound very big.
Right.
If you're going to do that, you want to get as much root as you can. So, you know, if you can, so this thing's 5 feet tall. I don't know how wide it is, but let's say, you know, the branches run out here 4 feet from one side to the other, 4 foot diameter canopy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you could get 3 feet of root ball with that, you know, the more root ball you take with it, the better off it's going to be, because you're going to shock it. You dig it up now, you'll be cutting roots. You're not going to get everything out of the ground. You're going to shock it by doing that. But no, that's certainly possible. You know, it's of a size that they can be transplanted. If especially if it's in a bad spot, and you don't think that using a stake and guy wire, stake and guy
sure.
rope, something like that. If you don't think that's going to straighten it up, then sure, certainly it's of a size that you could do that.
Okay.
You know, they will go through a fair amount of shock because you're going to pull this thing. I mean, literally you're going to jerk it up by the roots out of the ground. And so
right.
that's going to cause a lot of shock to it. You're doing it at that time of the year when you know it's trying to start growing and start creating energy for itself. I mean, fall is a preferred time to do that. You're going to shock it pretty good right now. If you do it now, you know, be prepared to baby it through the summer to make sure that you're able to water it adequately and. Kind of treat it gingerly, treat it kindly as it goes through the summer. If you can wait, you know, till this fall, I would rather do that. But I mean, if it just needs to be done, then go ahead and give it a shot.
So better to wait until fall.
If you're going to dig a tree up, move it. That would be the preferred time to do it. Yes, sir.
All righty. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. That's the number to call, 615-893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens, trees, flowers, everything. Stay with us. We'll be back after we check the traffic and weather.
Time ago, where have all the young girls gone? Gone for husbands, everyone. When will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn? Where have all the husbands gone? Long time passing. Where have all the husbands gone? Long time ago. Husband's gone. Gone for soldiers, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn? Where have all the soldiers gone?
WGNS talks about all things local. It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
We have now gotten a food truck. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. Our food truck has various items from the Demas's menu, from our Peter D's catering menu, from our new concept PDK, and we can combine it in any form or fashion. The food truck is available for rent, and it also can show up at any different events or outings. But it's set up here to be able to serve the people here anytime you want without having to go inside the restaurant. Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Don't let fleas and ticks get the jump on your pet this spring. Here at Animal City, we carry a full range of supplies to keep your pets protected. Animal City is open 7 days a week. When you come see us, don't miss our underground level with all of our small animals, our adoptable cats, and so much more. This is Amanda from Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Well, good morning. Sure, we've seen a couple of wrecks out here, but it's still just very busy on 24, but it is moving. 24 westbound here as we look at it live at Hickory Hollow Parkway up by Bell Road, continuing towards Nashville. Still a lot of traffic out here at times on 41, getting on that ramp there to 840. 840 headed over towards Franklin. Williamson County is also very busy. Obrey Gatlinburg Spring Festival. It's called Mayfest, coming up May 17th through May 27th. Check it out, obreygatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Thank you, Chuck. What about the latest weather forecast brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We'll see a few spotty rain showers and thunderstorms here this afternoon with partial sunshine developing, a high in the upper 70s, and we'll have winds out of the southwest of 15 to 20 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 64.
This is Freedom Wiggin from First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Bazing at First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives a new meaning to customer service.
Get your parachutes ready.
I can't believe I'm going to do this.
$10,000 accidental death coverage.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Or give us the call today at 615-494-4200. Member FDIC.
Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. We're talking lawns and gardens, trees, flowers, the whole bit. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. Mitchell Moats with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. If you have a lawn or garden question, give us a call. 615-893-1450. Everybody's out there. Mowing season is here. They are starting to mow the yards. Are there, and so many yards are destroyed by people mowing too close to the ground. The different types of grasses, cool season and warm season grasses, is there a different requirement on height?
There is. As a rule, your cool season grasses, and the dominant ones, tall fescue, the bunch grasses, do not tolerate as close mowing as will the creeping grasses like Bermuda grass and Zoysia grass. And those are both warm season grasses. Tall fescue, you know, probably 3 inches or so would be as low as you'd like to mow it. As the season progresses, it gets hotter, more stress on the cool season grasses. You think about raising that mower blade up so that you're not taking as much off. It, regardless of whether it's a warm season or a cool season grass, a kind of rule of thumb is the goal would be to remove roughly a third of the length of a grass blade at a time, because that, you know, mowing does stress the grass. It does cause damage. It does take away a leaf tissue that it uses to catch sunlight. So it does go through some period of stress after you mow it. In the good growing season, that stress period is not as long as it would be. It's not as stressful as it would be in a more stressful time of the year for cool season grasses. You know, now is a great time for them to grow. It's cool. They're growing at their most vigorous time, most vigorous method. and the most vigorous rate of growth, I guess what I'm trying to say. And as you get hotter, they slow down some. They don't grow as fast. They don't recover as rapidly. So that's when you start thinking about raising those mower blades up. But again, 3 inches, about as low as you'd want to mow tall fescue. Or if you've got some perennial ryegrass or something mixed in there as well. The warm season grasses, Bermuda grass and Zoysia grass, they'll tolerate a very low mowing. You don't want to mow them real short today and then real tall next time. You want to kind of maintain a consistent height on those. But that same rule applies, trying to remove no more than a third of the length of the grass blade at a time. But how low can you mow those grasses? Well, if the lawn is flat enough, I mean, you can mow, a high-quality Bermuda grass lawn, Zoysia grass as well, lower than an inch if the ground is flat enough to allow you to do that. Now, most folks' yards aren't flat enough to mow that tight because you've got little high spots and you're scalping the ground and so on. Probably more realistic height is somewhere in the 2-inch neighborhood on those creeping grasses, Bermuda grass and Zoysia grass. You may encourage them to actually get a little thicker by doing that. Encourage that lateral running, the stolons across the surface of the ground. And it may increase just the density of those above ground shoots by mowing them at that lower height of cut. But, constantly removing excess leaf tissue keeps the plant in a more stressed period, more stressed condition. And instead of making energy by catching sunlight with that fresh green leaf tissue, it's forced to use energy that is stored in the root system. And that's what causes, over time, the repeated low mowing. That's what causes it to get sick or to get weaker, not sick necessarily, but to get weaker and succumb to the stresses and die.
We have a text here from a listener who says, I just moved to Murfreesboro a few months ago. We moved into a brand new home in a brand new subdivision. We have very little grass, but a lot of dirt. And what can we do?
Well, so, again, you got two choices as far as grass is concerned, cool season grasses or warm season grasses. Cool season grasses, the dominant one is going to be turf top tall fescue. The warm season grasses, Bermuda grass, Zoysia grass, and so on. I mean, the time to plant from seed, cool season grass, the ideal time is going to be that late summer, early fall time frame, September to the early part of October. Planting now, if you get adequate moisture on it, you'll certainly, most likely, are going to get some germination. You're going to get some grass to start growing there. But because it will be so immature when the stresses of the summer get here, a lot of that very well may not live. The other option is a warm season grass. We're just now getting into the time to plant Bermuda grass. If you got a full sun or mostly full sun environment there in that lawn, that's certainly something to think about. But do you know the difference between a cool season and a warm season grass? Do you know how they grow? The warm season grasses, Bermuda and Zoysia, they creep, they spread. If a person is not aware of that, they may not be ready to manage that grass to keep it from invading into their flower beds, into the mulched areas, and so on. And then they start to view it as a terrible thing to have that grass there because it grows into the beds and so on if they don't manage it to keep it out of it. And that's the point. You need to learn a little bit about the characteristics of the different grasses before you choose one.
So the warm season creeps into the flower bed.
Well, the running grasses does not. The tall fescue, the bunch grasses do not creep.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Bunch. They grow in clumps and clusters. They don't creep and spread. The warm season grasses that we grow are spreading grasses. They're creeping grasses. They mm-hmm. spread above ground and below ground. They tolerate the heat very well. They withstand traffic. They have the ability to fill in, repair themselves, for damp because they spread. They creep. So in a lot of respects, that's a very positive thing. In some respects, it's a negative thing because that is something you have to manage for because they will grow into flower beds and such as that. And it's a chore to try to pull the stuff out of a bed. I don't know that you'll ever get it all pulled out. If you get Bermuda grass infested into a flower bed or a mulch, a shrub bed like that. But as long as you know that the possibility is there, then you manage for it. You keep it edged out and trimmed out of it so that it doesn't ever get started. it will turn brown at frost. All warm season grasses will do that, and they have the shortest period of green color compared to the cool season grasses. They have the fewest months of green color. So if that is not acceptable to you, then you choose a cool season grass. If you're going to establish from seed, you do it now. Understand that a lot of it is not going to survive, and you will need to, most likely, you'll need to do some overseeding in the correct time of the year, the September, early October time frame, to increase the stand density, the population of that cool season grass, to maintain a good dense turf stand in the lawn. Another option is to sod. You lay the sod out there now because the cool season grasses or warm season grasses, either one, can be established from sod. If you establish a cool season grass from sod this time of the year, that grass has a head start. It's already up and growing. It's already got a root system there. So it's not like it's starting from a seed as if you were to seed it, even though, you know, it's not going to be as well established as grass that was sodded in October. But it's still better established than a cool season grass that was seeded in March or seeded in April. So, you know, those are your options, and that's a lot to kind of soak in, I guess, over the radio. And I can't describe to you how these things look and so on, but I would encourage you to do a little research there. And those are your two choices. I mean, what it boils down to is either a warm season grass or a cool season grass. And those are your options. Understand, you know, learn what those characteristics of those grasses are, how they grow, what they look like. And there's a ton of information online that will help you to do that and make a decision. You know, come to Lane Agri Park, walk through the turf plots out there.
Yeah, tell us about that, because that you sometimes seeing the grass growing and touching it.
Yeah, we got 30 plots that, you know, 10 by 5 by 10 plots, so roughly 50 square foot plots out there. The bulk of those are cool season grasses, with the majority of the cool season grasses being turf type tall fescue and blends of turf type tall fescue.
Does that mean, since the majority are cool season, that does better here than warm season?
Well, cool season is the most prevalent. It's used more frequently than the other. Does it do better? No. I mean, they're both well adapted. Okay, they're both well adapted, but they're different. They're very different. From a heat and drought tolerance standpoint, the warm season grasses are far superior. But again, they've got the fewest months of green color. They have the shortest growing season. So it depends on what their goals are, you know, what their attitude of a good lawn is. For some folks, it doesn't matter. It could be crabgrass. As long as it's green, that's good. And that's okay. Okay, that's your choice to make. But we do have the turf plots there. Right now, the cool season grasses are looking very good. The warm season grasses, they're kind of ratty looking. I mean, they're starting to wake up. You know, you're getting green in them, but they're in that transition period where they're still brown and green. The brown because they went dormant at frost last year. They're waking up now. They're starting to come out of dormancy and starting to grow. But that gives you an idea of what those grasses look like. We've got zoysia grass, centipede grass, and Bermuda grass all growing there, as well as the turf-type tall fescues and a little bit of perennial ryegrass growing on the cool season side. And folks can just kind of walk through it and see it. They're all grasses that if you're going into a garden center in Rutherford County, you know, they're examples of what you're going to find there.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have black elephant ears. There's another plant that looks like elephant ears, but the leaves stand up. They don't droop like that. If I put those in the same bed, would they mix or will they stay true to their character?
Well, I don't know how they propagate, so I'm not sure if they would. I doubt they would cross, but I don't know that for a fact.
Okay, so best not to do it then.
Well, I mean, I guess if you want to err on the side of caution, you would not do it. But I don't think they would, but I don't know that. I don't know that 100%.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for calling. 615-893-1450. Elephant ears. Now, she said black, so I'm guessing those are dark colored as compared to the green
ones? I would assume, yeah.
Okay.
I would assume so, yes, sir. You know, the folks had a couple of folks call in about hydrangeas this morning already, and there are different kinds of hydrangeas, and you know, depending on the kinds you have, that influences when you would prune those. It's hard to give just a blanket answer. Should you prune those hydrangeas? Should you not prune them? That sort of thing. It really depends on the kind that you have. But the smooth hydrangeas, those are the ones that typically bloom, you know, in the June, begin blooming in June time frame. Predominantly going to be white colored. Sometimes there'll be some pink ones in there, and maybe those will, as the pink ones age, or the white ones, even as those flowers age, they take on a little bit of green cast to them. They can be pruned in the early springtime, mm-hmm. to encourage more flowering that summer. Okay, that's good for them. Then the big leaf hydrangeas, typically they don't need to be pruned at all. They don't typically worry about those. The hardy hydrangeas, they typically in the late June time frame, they can tolerate, or they can benefit from an early springtime pruning. So if you have those in early springtime, you know, you'd like to get it done March, first part of April. Is it too late? Well, maybe not. Oak leaf hydrangeas, again, typically don't need to be pruned very much. So it really depends on the kind that you have as to whether you'd prune it or not prune it, and what kind of influence that has on the bloom potential for that flower.
Now, the hydrangea, you can make it look like a bush, a short bush. You can make it look like a tall bush or a tree almost, can't you?
I haven't seen a hydrangea grow to a tree form. Now, maybe you're thinking about crepe myrtles.
That's crepe myrtle. That could be.
Now, the hydrangeas will, you know, some are bigger than others, but I haven't seen any that were grown in a tree form that got that big. But
okay.
Now, crepe myrtles
probably
can.
Crepe myrtles, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, they come in different colors, pink and white and purple are three fairly common colors, and they're different sizes. Some dwarf ones, they bloom in the summer, typically after June is when they bloom. They're just now starting to wake up and to come out of their winter dormancy. And like you said, they can be trained to a single stem, more like a tree, or multiple stems like a shrub. And depending on whether it's a large one or a small one, that'll influence the size ultimately that we'll get.
Now, when you're shaping these types of plants, is there a way that you should shape them that is better for their health? I mean, some people...
Just kind of natural. You know, just try to maintain a natural form.
Okay.
Until folks started messing with them, they weren't pruned anyway. When they were just growing in nature, nobody prunes the trees in the forest, and they get along just fine. And nobody prunes the rhododendrons and so on. They're growing, you know, in the mountain areas.
They look pretty.
They do okay. We prune plants to try to manipulate them a little bit to fit a space, or to maybe encourage a little more blooming fruits and so on. You prune those to try to increase production and so on, but does the plant have to have that in order to live and survive? No, it may be more productive. You may influence the way it looks and performs some, but you know, in most instances, they don't have to be pruned in order to live and survive. And as far as do you prune it a certain way to keep a certain shape? Well, I mean, if you want a real formal look, then you shear it to a formal look. You know, you prune it to a formal look, the rectangles and the round shapes and so on. Some of these evergreens are done that way. But hydrangeas and crepe myrtles and so on, they're just more natural. You know, they don't shape and maintain a shape very well. So, you know, you just prune them as needed to kind of keep them in the size and try to encourage a little more flowering on them. But as far as trying to prune them to a certain shape, I don't know that you ought to do that.
We're talking about lawns and gardens this morning. It's spring, definitely. Spring is in the air. Mitchell Motes with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're going to check on the weather, and then we'll be back. If you have a question or a comment, you can talk or text 615-893-1450.
I hear them all, the old songs. I thought that's why they came. No one heard the music. Didn't look the same. I said hello to Mary Lou. about a honky tonk. It was time to leave, but it's all right now. Learned my lesson well. See, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. A lot down, down.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them.
MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at your Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. Come see us for all your pet needs. Also, come see us for all your gift needs. We have anything you need for that perfect, unique gift. We're the best kept secret in town for gifts, and we have a wide selection of gifts. Anything from wedding gifts to baby gifts to home decor. Of course, our wonderful wind chimes. Come see us for all your winter clothing and boot needs. Here at the Co-op, 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church. And remember, you don't have to be a member to shop with us.
This is Lisa Halliburton with Bell Jewelers. Remember, Mom, this Mother's Day, Sunday, May the 12th. Let Bell Jewelers help you select a memorable gift. Come visit us at 821 Northwest Broad Street.
Hearing and understanding is vital. People you know depend on Dr. Sean Lancaster.
I go to Dr. Sean Lancaster.
So should you.
So we try to match the best product we can for someone's budget.
Dr. Sean Lancaster.
If anyone is having any difficulty at all, have your hearing tested.
Hear better. See Dr. Sean Lancaster.
Chance to try them to see if it's going to work for them.
Dr. Sean Lancaster.
They're very pleased with our service.
608 East Clark Boulevard.
When you visit Hoover Paint Store, you'll see that many of our customers have been doing business with us for years. Why?
Because they know we have the finest quality of paint, a knowledgeable staff, and treat every customer special. Hoover Paint Store has the paint you need to make any project shine. If it's not worth painting, call Neil's Dozer Service. They'll tear it down.
I'm Tim Bowling, and I'll invite you to visit our family business, Hoover Paint Store, on the corner of Memorial and Loki, or visit us online at www.hooverpaint.com.
We'll see a few spotty rain showers and thunderstorms here this afternoon with partial sunshine developing, a high in the upper 70s, and we'll have winds out of the southwest of 15 to 20 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 64.
This is Jason with Tire World. We're having our annual at-cost tire sale this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So stop by and see us as we drastically reduce all tire brands for this three-day-only tire sale.
At Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
He's on your side. Consumer warrior Clark Howard.
Save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off.
Weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS.
That may have been a stretch. We're trying to use bumper music that's gardens and flowers and trees.
Yeah, I've always wondered, do you think he was really trying when he was singing that?
I don't think so. I think this was a... Do you remember a Mrs. Miller? She had some... I can't say hits. She had some songs people wanted to hear.
I don't recall
And she
that.
Sounded a lot...
Sounded a lot like
a female Tim. Version of Tiny Tim. Sort of an operatic
yeah.
version of
no,
Tiny
I'm
Tim.
No, I'm not familiar with it. I just,
singing the hits of the day.
Yeah, I don't. This never did appeal to me.
Well, yeah, neither one of these would be ones that you'd run out and buy their records. But
for a while, they were...
They were popular.
Yeah, trendy. Trendy.
What was with that, I wonder?
I don't know. I guess something a little different, maybe.
But it was, very definitely. Speaking of things that people need to do differently, learning something the right way, big farmers markets opening up just around the
May
corner.
May 10th, less than a month away.
And
yeah,
class
May 10th.
Every
and
one
class,
of those.
Class will start on May 10th also. Once it opens on Friday, May the 10th, it'll be open each Tuesday and Friday through, I guess, that last Friday in October. And there's a free class offered at each market day, each Tuesday and Friday at 9 o'clock. There at the Lane Agri Park Community Center, which is the home of the farmers market. So, I know they've had their annual vendors meeting, and, yeah. and vendors have registered to participate in the market this year. I think they've got a large number of vendors, as they have had in years past, and I think their folks are looking forward to the market opening up and getting started.
Very definitely. Are there any other classes coming
up? Actually, there are. Not so much related to home and garden, but the Master Horse Producer class, that series of classes is set for April. It's probably getting pretty close to the registration deadline for that. And if anybody is a horse enthusiast, they raise horses just for pleasure or whatnot. And if they're interested in taking the Master Horse Producer class, contact the Extension Service office at 615-898-7710. And to learn more about the class, ask for Kim Hall. She's my coworker there. Kim is one of the extension agents that works primarily with the animal-related topics. She's an animal science major, and Kim will be conducting Kim and John Teague, extension agent in Bedford County, they're conducting this class jointly. So if you're interested in the horse program, this might be a good opportunity for you. At least give a call and find out the details about that. But I think the registration deadline is getting pretty close, because that is going to be in April. That class begins in April.
I was over at the Co-op Farm and Home Center yesterday talking with Tina Fox, and Tina said there are two things that are quite popular this time of the year, baby chicks and bees.
Yeah, bees.
bees buzzing.
Beekeepers, certainly, they're starting, some are starting new hives and so on. But from my standpoint, I've had more questions from people about carpenter bees and so on. What's the difference between carpenter bees and bumblebees? I've been seeing these bees out here. They're boring holes into the exposed wood on the garage or in the shed or whatnot. Well, those are carpenter bees, and they're doing what carpenter bees do. Those females bore in there and create those galleys, the little tunnels into the exposed wood, and that's where they lay their eggs and raise their young. They cause damage. Well, yeah, I mean, it's physical damage because they're boring holes in there. So do you want to kill them? Well, gosh, it's kind of a tough thing, because they're awfully good pollinators. Carpenter bees, lots of these wild bees are excellent pollinators. Maybe from a pollination standpoint, they may be more efficient pollinators than some of the managed bees like honeybees are, but they don't produce honey, so that's, they don't have that going for them, I guess. But just strictly from a pollination standpoint, so we need them, we need them, but we also don't want them damaging our sheds or structures and so on. We do have information available about, dealing with carpenter bees and such as that. If you've got some that are causing some damage, to exposed wood there on your shed or your garage building, or maybe even in the deck and so on, they'll bore into that wood. They tend to get after unfinished wood more so than they do painted wood or finished wood, so that's something to keep in mind. But there are, protocols that you can use to help control them if they do start causing damage to those structures like we mentioned. So just give us a call there at the office if you'd like to discuss that some.
That's going to do it for our show today. Thank you for joining us. Ms. Miller takes us out.
When you're not bed, you keep saying when you ought to be a changin'.